Shalom, brethren. Shalom, shalom. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. Hallelujah. And right now in the UK, it is past sunset, which means it's no longer the 9th of Adar Bet or Adar 2, but rather the 10th of Adar Bet or Adar 2. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are on the 10th day of the Hebrew month. For the Hebrew scriptures, the Bible says that a day begins at sunset. Genesis chapter 1 makes it clear that a day begins at sunset and ends at sunset or the following day. Hallelujah. So every sunset, a day ends. Every sunset, a new day begins. Hallelujah. My name is Sister Perpetua Mirembe or Shulamit George. Hallelujah. Of Yahushua HaMashiach, the Chief Cornerstone Ministry. And in this particular teaching, in this particular audio ministration, the focus is going to be on the book of Esther chapter 4. Hallelujah. Esther chapter 4. Today, the 10th of Adar, hallelujah, marks the beginning of a 3-day fasting period during which we are supposed to do away with food and only drink water if necessary. We're meant to be drinking water only. It's meant to be a dry fasting, just as it was in the days of Esther. The Orthodox Jews, the ones that don't believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, they only fast for one day, which is the day before Purim, or the Feast of Lots mentioned in Esther chapter 9, which is to be celebrated on the 14th of Adar. Although in some other places they also celebrate it on the 15th of Adar. However, it is important as the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth or Yahushua HaMashiach to take time to fast and pray for the full 3 days which Esther did. This is a crucial period in the spiritual realm. The worldly people and the fallen angels have very good understanding of these days. The worldly people in particular, the agents of the kingdom of darkness, the ones that work hand in hand with the demons to promote wickedness on earth. They, you know, especially those that fully know what they are doing, the major agents, they know what season we are in, and it's extremely important that the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth also knows and has the full understanding of the season we are in. It's a very crucial season because whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, every single year there are lots that are cast against the body of Jesus Christ around this time of year. It's important to understand that what we are doing now actually happened in the month of Nisan, also known as Aviv, which usually falls in the month of April on the Roman Gregorian calendar. So it would be next month. It means that Haman cast the lots the previous year in the month of Nisan or Aviv, but he cast the lots to fall into the 12th month of the year, the pregnant month of the year in which our joy the month in which our joy increases. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the Lord knew that he would give the Israelites their freedom. Now, I've just done an audio on Moses. Because 3 days ago on the 7th of Adar, which fell on Sunday, started at sunset on Saturday, the 16th of March, and ended on Sunday at sunset. So Sunday, the 17th of March at sunset, that was the anniversary of the birth and the death of Moses. He was born and he died on the very same day, 120 years apart. And in that audio, I made it clear that whatever happened in Egypt that the Lord was delivering the Israelites from is very similar to what we are praying against during the season of the fast of Esther. So the main title for this teaching is the fast of Esther. Hallelujah. The fast of Esther. Ta'anit Esther. Ta'anit Esther in Hebrew. Ta'anit Esther. We all know that Esther was born as Hadassah. That's her Hebrew name. But she had to take on a Persian name called Esther in order for her identity as a Jew to be hidden from the king and his subjects during the beauty contest for who would become the replacement queen of Vashti. Hallelujah. After Vashti was deposed. Now, it's worth understanding that the Egyptians or the Mizraim people, they put Israel in bondage because they were afraid of the Israelites, you know, having to multiply and then take over their land and get rid of them or turn them to slaves. They were actually wrong. The Israelites were extremely grateful for the fact that the Egyptians took them in, and they would never try such a thing. As far as I know, they were very humble and grateful, and they knew why they were in Goshen, in Mizraim or Egypt. But the Egyptians just decided to develop an evil mind for no reason. Well, after they sent the Israelites to go and fight against Esau on their behalf, and they saw how mighty the Israelites were, and though they were few in number, they overcame the Esau enemies that had come to fight against the Egyptians. So that made the Egyptians to become envious and fearful of the children of Israel, and for that reason they took their precious items that Joseph had given to them and then started making them work hard in jobs that did not make sense, such as building cities which involved brick making bricks, and you know, trying to deny them of intimacy with their wives so that they did not increase in number. But no matter how much the Egyptians tried to frustrate the Israelites always flourished. And that's what Psalm 92 means by the righteous shall flourish like palm trees and like cedars in Lebanon. Hallelujah. The righteous shall flourish like palm trees and like cedars in Lebanon. The righteous shall flourish like palm trees and like cedars in Lebanon. Hallelujah. So this is a season in which we really praise and celebrate the Most High God, whose name in the Hebrew in short is Yah, Y-A-H, not J-A-H, Y-A-H it is. We really honor him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our lives, the only true God that we must serve and look up to in everything we do. You know, we have to constantly be reminded that we are married to him and we are in covenant with him, and we are not to break the covenant. He remains faithful. It is us who become faithless eventually. We need to be faithful to him. Hallelujah. So one of the reasons why the Israelites ended up being persecuted by Haman and his cohorts was because the Israelites attended the party, the banquet that King Ahasuerus, because that's his original name, though he's written as Ahasuerus and Xerxes in some version, Bible versions, his name is Ahasuerus, which is that's how the Hebrews mention it. And the banquet was very attractive. It was very hard to resist. It was so well put together. It was almost like the heavenly banquet. But a lot of abominations happened at that banquet. Food was sacrificed to the idols and the wine. And though it was well set up in terms of the colors and the materials used on the tables and the curtains, the decorations, and various other things, and the fact that people were given robes, beautiful robes to wear to the banquet, it was not a godly banquet. And it's very sad to even know that this king started boasting, saying that is his banquet anywhere near like the one that God is going to do in heaven in the future? So it was like he was mocking God as he was doing this banquet, that he invited everybody from the various parts of the world to attend. Mordecai beckoned the Israelites not to attend, but unfortunately, some of them disobeyed him and they went ahead to attend and they ate of the abominable food and drink, and that really did affect them. It became a point of contact for the devil to go and report them in heaven so that God could open his judgment against them. Haman really did use it, even the devil used it in heaven to create room for accusation. He used it to accuse the Israelites of sinning against him by eating the food of the unclean. Unclean food, they polluted their spirits, they polluted their bodies by eating food that was dedicated to the idols. So the Lord was furious, and so when Haman started, and when Haman knew this in the spirit, he saw that the Israelites had been exposed, even though it was not the entire Israel. The few that had done it opened a door of evil for the others to be attacked by the enemy. So Haman used this opportunity, and the fact that Mordecai used to disrespect him to go and create room for the Israelites to be annihilated, basically wiped off the face of the map, starting with Mordecai. Little did Haman know that the queen of the empire, which is the Medo-Persian Empire, I think it's the silver arms and a silver chest or something like that in Daniel chapter 2. Yeah, that he didn't know that the queen is actually Jewish and that the Lord was going to use her to save the Jewish people or the Israelites worldwide. Hallelujah. So we thank God because we have a faithful God. Now, in order for the Israelites to be pardoned from the, from this, from the annihilation, from the plan of Haman, they had to go into fasting and prayer for 3 days. This fasting and prayer was declared to begin 3 days before the 15th of Nisan, because it was the 15th of Nisan that Haman, or the 16th of Nisan, that Haman was arrested. That Haman was arrested and taken for, to receive his judgment from the king. So the fasting began on the 13th of Nisan and ended on the 16th of Nisan. Nisan is also known as Aviv. And so, sorry, I've had to pause for a moment. And so we need to, have the understanding that this thing happened around Passover time. It was so Haman did come, sorry, Haman got the king to sign the decree of killing the Jews into law on the 13th day of the Hebrew month called Nisan or Aviv. And as soon as Mordecai found out about it, because the queen wasn't always well informed about everything going on in the palace, so she found out through Mordecai, because Mordecai always tried to update her since he was one of the officials in the kingdom. Esther immediately decreed fasting and prayer that very day from that very day all the way to the 16th of Nisan or Aviv, hallelujah, the month of being delivered from Egypt or Mizraim, and the month of the crossing of the Sea of Reeds. It's known as the month of miracles. It's known that as the month of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, the roaring lion, hallelujah. And the head of the lion of the tribe of Judah was crucified that month, hallelujah. So this happened from the 13th of Nisan, and then on the 15th day of Nisan, she called for the banquet. She called for the banquet. She was still in fasting and prayer, so she did not eat at the banquet. The king wondered why, but she, he let it go. He let it slide. Then the following day, the 16th, which was the third day of the fasting, she did the second banquet, and that is where she exposed her man. So she started fasting on the 13th, and on the 14th, she skipped that day, or she appeared before the king, and then she told him to come to her banquet the following day on the 15th. And then he invited her again. No, sorry, I think he, sorry, she appeared to him on the 15th, and she invited her to the bank. She invited him to the banquet that very day. And then on the 16th, she invited him to another banquet again the following day on the 16th. And then on the 17th, her man was executed. Now, what Haman did is very similar to what Hitler was trying to do, and the two of them have a lot in common. And it's interesting that in the month of Second Chance Passover, which is the one after Nisan or Aviv, so 2 months from now, on the 17th day of the month as well, that's the day that Hitler died, the 17th of Iyar. Thereby God speaking, he's just speaking into the life of every Amalekite, that no matter what they do, they will always be on the losing side. So even though God knew that Haman was wicked and he shouldn't have done such a thing, and Israel was special to God, God needed Israel to cry out to him and plead with him to spare the lives of the Israelites, have mercy on him, cleanse them from the pollution they had done to themselves, so that they could be in right standing with the Lord. While they were not in right standing with the Lord, the devil had a case. He had a point. He made sense when he put his case together before the Lord. So the Israelites needed to deal with that first and foremost, the issue that they were being accused of, before they could be spared and given freedom to fight against their enemies. So this is one of the reasons why we need to fast and pray for the 3 days, for 3 days every year around this time of year. Why do we do it in the month of Adar before Purim? Well, the month of Nisan is a very busy month. It's an extremely busy season, that the last thing you will remember is that it is time to fast concerning the feast of Est, concerning what happened in history regarding Esther. Passover keeps us so busy from the 13th. And we are to be, keeping the houses clean and do certain traditional rituals that the Lord has taught us to do, like clean out the whatever last crumbs of bread or any kind of leaven we have in our homes, and then go and burn it. And we do that just before the 14th of Nisan begins, and then we have to do the extended Holy Communion service, which is called the Pesach Seder or the Passover Seder, which can last hours. You all have to sit down together as a family in the house, and you read through the biblical history of how the Israelites went into the bondage and how God delivered them. And the stopping point is where they cross the Red Sea. So you have to go back to where Joseph was arrested with his brothers. No, Joseph was sold by his brothers. And then you go all the way to the point, you go through the 10 plagues, and then you go all the way to the point where the Israelites cross the Red Sea. And there are certain things we do as symbolisms which are there to help the children and other people that are new to the whole experience of having an extended Holy Communion service. I don't like to call it the Last Supper because that is not really the right name for it. It was not the Last Supper as such. It was a usual thing that was done every year. It's just that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, did it that final time with the Israelites, with his brothers, you know, the disciples, because he was going to go to heaven some weeks after that. So we have entered a very busy season this week, a very busy season. And we have to really prepare our hearts for what is to come. Now, as I said, we had to do the fast from sunset. If we are not able to do it on a daily basis without breaking till Saturday, then what we need to do is to break every day before sunset and then prepare to start again at sunset. May the Lord Yahweh Almighty give us the grace to do this fasting properly using the book of Esther chapter 4 and any other related holy scripture. This is one of there are two major fasting periods we're going to do this month. This one to do with the fast of Esther, and then the next one is to do with it's to do with Jericho, which the Jericho event started the 21st of Nisan and ended on the 28th of Nisan. But we do it in the month of Adar once again because the month of Nisan is a very busy month. Passover keeps us busy, and once Passover finishes, we have to start counting the Omer, 7 weeks to 7 weeks to 7 weeks to Shavuot, also known as weeks in the English language, and Pentecost in the Greek language. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, as we all know, they started their own demonic season that worships or honors the fake Queen of Heaven mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 7, chapter 7 and chapter 44. They started last month in February. They declared that a fast, 40-day fast began, you know, which leads into Easter season. And so this coming Sunday, many churches, many people around the world will be celebrating Palm Sunday. But I urge you not to partake in Palm Sunday. As I have shared before, if you begin to get accustomed to not seeing or acknowledging Sunday as the weekly Sabbath, you will begin to get accustomed to not acknowledging certain things that the Roman Catholic Church have instituted over the years. Jesus Christ did not ride on a donkey on a Sunday. It was a Saturday rather. And it was the 10th day of Nisan, the very day on which the children of Israel also crossed the River Jordan, which in Hebrew is known as the Yarden. That is when they crossed the Sea of Reeds. The River Jordan, the very same day, years apart, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, walked on, sorry, sat on the donkey and began to, and was, rode on it. And that's gonna take place sometime next month. I'll be sure to highlight it to you. This day is a Sabbath Haggadol, sorry, sub great Sabbath, sorry. Very often, especially when it falls on a Saturday, it is called Shabbat Haggadol in the Hebrew language. And last year, it fell on a Saturday, so it was known as Shabbat Haggadol. This year, most likely, it's going to be a Sunday, but it's okay for it to be a Shabbat Haggadol because the Hebrew calendar does not operate like the Roman calendar. The Hebrew calendar is flexible, it's not rigid, which means that the days of God, which require us to rest as a Sabbath, can fall on any day of the week, and we have to be ready to pay the necessary sacrifices that the Lord requires as part of our walk of faith with Him, because He has sent His instructions on how He wants us to worship Him. So please do not partake or celebrate the Palm Sunday that is coming up this weekend. This weekend is Purim celebration, the Feast of Esther, as per Esther chapter 9. It begins at sunset Saturday and ends at sunset Sunday. Before that, we fast for 3 days, waiting on the Lord, pleading with the King of Kings to have mercy upon us as His specially set apart people, for we have wronged Him in various ways that are attracting His judgment, that are attracting the devil's accusations over us, and opening a door for the spirit of Haman to attack us and get us annihilated. We are to plead with the Lord to have mercy on His people and not to permit the hand of the enemy to prevail over us. Hallelujah. We are also to pray for divine favor, that we may have divine favor with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So it's a very important season. And I don't know, but I've noticed in the UK this season of Easter or Ishtar, or women, a season of where celebrating Women's Day, celebrating Mothering Sunday, a lot of statues have gone up lately in the UK, and I'm trying to understand what is going on here. And then I learned today, Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024, that Barack Hussein Obama, whom the Lord has revealed as the anti-Messiah that, will is to be revealed in the future. He's revealed to private, he's revealed it to individuals privately, but he is going to reveal it eventually to the whole world, before, just before the holy rapture or the holy catching away of the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, to the heavens. Yeah, he is in the UK. Obama is in the UK. I don't know what he's doing here. And I really wonder. I just feel that there's something sinister going on, and it's quite interesting that he has come during the Purim season. Why Purim season of all times would he come? For what? This is the time when the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is really looking to attack people within the body of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord also wants us, as we are approaching His throne, Esther, we are like Esther did. We remember the Elijah of Malachi 4, 5 to 6, and also the two witnesses of Zechariah chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 11. I'm going to have to pause for a moment. I need to go and do something. I'll be back to complete this audio and then round it up and share. I wish to read some verses in Esther chapter 4 before I finish. All right. But yeah, also another theme of this audio is if I perish, I perish. We have to be ready to get to the level of saying that. All right. Shalom for now. Shalom, brethren. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, Yeah, I was talking about the abominable days, the Lord that the days that the Lord doesn't want us to observe. So yeah, one of them is the Palm Sunday that is coming up, which is on the Roman Gregorian calendar. The one that is on the Hebrew calendar, we don't call it Palm Sunday, we call it Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Sabbath, hallelujah, which has a lot of history on it. I've already told you two histories. One of them is the crossing of the River Jordan into the Promised Land that is recorded in the book of Joshua, and the other one is when Jesus Christ of Nazareth sat on the donkey and rode through the city of Jerusalem. Another event that happened, if I'm not mistaken, was him going to the temple and going to the temple and turning the tables while telling the people there that they shouldn't be doing business in his father's house. Hallelujah. Now, I'm gonna quickly look into the book of Esther, chapter 4. Then I'll round up this audio. I'll come back to the book of Esther as the days continue to progress. So, NKJV version, Esther agrees to help the Jews. I'm just starting halfway through, but you know, when hopefully tomorrow I can teach about it from beginning from chapter 1. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So, verse 4, Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make a supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. By the way, the person that created that new law of not appearing before the king unless he has invited you was Haman. He knew what he was doing. He was trying to separate the people from the king so that he could manipulate the king into whatever he wanted, and nobody would be able to contest it, including the queen. That law also applied to the queen, unfortunately. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet you, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day." This is from verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day." Hallelujah. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. And if I perish, I perish." Verse 17, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now there are layers of divine revelation concerning what is seen in the book of Esther. I'm not going to go into it right now, but it is important to have an understanding that Mordecai, excuse me. Mordecai represents the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is also known as Yahushua HaMashiach in the Hebrew language. Excuse me, I'm just cleaning my nose. And Esther represents the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, the Hakala. And Esther also in a way represents the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Shekinah glory, or the Ruach HaKodesh. The king is representative of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The king is representative of God the Father. Hallelujah, although he can also be representative of God the Son. Now, as I said, there's layers of interpretation, and interestingly, it's also good to know that prior to the happening of this event, the Lord revealed it in a dream to Mordecai, and in that dream, Haman appeared as a dragon. Hallelujah. So the Lord already revealed what was to come, though the dream wasn't very clear. It wasn't easy to understand. It needed the Lord's help in order to be able to understand what it meant. Now, in chapter 3, which I'm not going to go into now, we see Haman speaking a lot of negative things against the children of Haman. The children of Israel, and also I want us to look very well at how he's even ready to pay money for the sake of Israel being annihilated. Now, in chapter 4, the main focus is on reaching out to the people in Shushan I think that was the main capital city of the Persian Empire at that time. It was easier to reach them with the news about the fast. If they could gather quick and fast, it would go a long way. Because by the time they could reach the people outside of Shushan, it wasn't going to be easy at all. And I think that is one of the reasons why there is Purim Shushan, or Purim, I forgot, I think Purim Susa, the ones outside of Shushan or something like that, I've forgotten. There are those who are in Shushan and those outside Shushan. But Purim, generally Purim is to be celebrated on the 14th, though we can also celebrate it on the 15th of the month. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Haman did is also a great reminder of what happened to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Yahushua HaMashiach, and his, how he was sold to be killed. So it's quite interesting that Haman put a price on the children of Israel, and he also chose to make the 13th day to become the day on which the children of Israel would be killed. Why 13? 13 speaks of rebellion. So it's quite interesting that he chose the 13th day to fight against the children of Israel. So we really need to be serious. Okay, 10,000 talents of silver. That is how much he decided to buy the lives of Israel. So it's very important to have the understanding of this and use it as a prayer point for the body of Jesus Christ, generally, the body of Jesus Christ at large, worldwide. Pray for divine favor, as I said earlier. Pray that the enemy's will not prevail over us. Pray that the Lord has mercy on us for any way in which we have polluted ourselves knowingly or unknowingly, and that has attracted accusation of the devil that brings the judgment of God upon us. Pray against the witch and wizards meetings which are being held worldwide this season in order to speak curses into the people's lives and to kill as many as possible. Pray for the two witnesses. The Lord says that during this Purim season, we are to pray for the two witnesses. I'm not sure why the Lord associates Purim with the two witnesses, but that is what the Lord has said. Pray for the two witnesses of Zechariah chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 11. They are one man and one woman. One man and one woman, husband and wife, operating in the anointing of Moses unto like Moses, and anointing unto like Elijah. So one of them operates in the anointing of Moses, the other one operates in the anointing of Elijah. So they're gonna come as, operating in that anointing. It's not that they're going to come as Moses and Elijah, as most people believe, but those are the main things that the Lord has described about the two witnesses. If we want to know much more information, such as who exactly they are, we have to go into the place of prayer and seek the face of the Most High God. Hallelujah. So may the Lord give us the grace to wait upon Him this season. I'm sorry that this message is coming a bit late, but it's not too late to start. I really encourage you to partake in this fasting season. You never know the miracles that await you, and you don't know what you're going to overcome that the devil has set up for you this season. We are in a season of Naphtali, the one that runs like a deer, and we are reminded that as the deer pants for the water, so our souls are to long after the Lord more than ever. We are to long for his love, for his holiness, for his righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit to manifest more in and through our lives, and as you know, through the body of Jesus Christ at large, worldwide. Hallelujah. So may the Lord give us the grace to fast and pray this season, and may He give us the grace to stay away from the pagan festivals that pollute us even further. This holiday is meant to be talked about in the Christian settings, in the churches, but many do not know about it and they do not observe it, unfortunately. And it's affecting many people in the body of Jesus Christ because a lot of things that are happening to us are as a result of, not understanding or not knowing biblical history and following the Hebrew calendar. We are not following the calendar of the Most High God, and if we don't follow the calendar, we are not able to understand what happened before on the days that we are in, which the enemy knows and he's using against us. So it's important to know our biblical history, Earth's history from God's perspective, because there is nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 to 10 makes us to understand. History just keeps repeating itself. So I'm gonna stop here for now, brethren. This audio was meant to be about 30 minutes. I pray that you remain blessed to the glory of the Most High God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I cover this audio, I cover myself, I cover every listener with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I pray that the presence of the Lord will abide with you and that you will have a great testimony this season and the one to come, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. So as Purim, when Purim sets in, it means we have to start cleaning our homes from all the leaven. When we start preparing, by doing shopping or making the foods that do not have leaven in them, we begin to clear out our house of anything made of leaven. Leaven represents pride, and we are to deal with that. We remove the things from our homes as a symbol of what we are also going to do spiritually during that season, because Jesus had no pride. He was the bread of affliction, the bread that was squeezed of any pride. That's why the bread that the Israelites eat during that season has holes in it, and it's called matzah in the Hebrew language. So anyhow, I'm gonna stop here. I'll talk more about Passover after Purim has passed. But yes, let us spend time in the book of Esther and let us pray and fast for divine favor, for divine, for prevailing over the kingdom of darkness, for the two witnesses, for the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Remain blessed once again in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Shalom, shalom, shalom.